Hello students, myself Manish Budhankar, acting as the assistant coordinator at Institute of Fire and Safety Engineering, which is a study center of YCMOU code 44228. Today I am going to brief you about the sixth book of Diploma in Fire and Safety Engineering Management, code FSM 106. And the course name is Detection, Communication and Special Call. Detection, Communication and Special Call is the sixth book in diploma program in Fire Safety Engineering Management. The subject of this book is classified under the basic fundamental of fire detection and alarm systems. Also, the basic facts and procedures involved in control room, watch room. The knowledge will be helpful in the actual working of wireless communication instruments in case of different disasters. There are total 6 units in this book. The first unit is basic watch room and control room procedures. A control room is a continuously manned fire brigade mobilizing and communication center which is equipped to deal with the receipt of emergency calls and the alerting and dispatching of fire brigade resources within its mobilizing area. All brigades have completely centralized their mobilizing arrangements at one single control room. This is specially designed and equipped with communication control facilities which enable its staff very speedily to operate the call out alarm systems at all fire stations throughout the brigade and transmit the appropriate turnout instructions. The main part is the fire brigade control room and its design. There are some important points. Fire control room and its design should be exclusion of noise, lighting, heating and ventilation, number of operating positions, layout of the control room, staff facilities. There are some communication systems located in fire control room also, such as provision of suitable circuits, alerting, routing of cables, monitoring of remote circuits, exchange telephone lines, operational lines, line connector units and digital switches, automatic call distribution, etc. The mobilizing scheme should have been planned so that it is not seriously affected by congestion either the control center or its communication systems. It should also be able to function normally and without interruption in the event of a main electricity supply failure either locally at fire stations or centrally in the main control center. The safeguard normally includes diversified communication bearers, standby power facilities which automatically come into operation immediately in the event of failure of main electric supply, adequate fire precaution arrangements like smoke detectors in communication apparatus room and also in planned rooms and roof spaces which are normally unattended and are the most potential risk. There are some duties of control room operator. These duties are very important to increase the efficiency of fire services. That may also called as core skills of control room operator. The primary function of control center is to provide the essential communication link which enable the provision of emergency firefighting, rescue and humanitarian services to the public when they call for assistance. Fire control operators are trained to elicit information from those calling for assistance. This activity requires the identification of the incident, address and confirmation of the type of emergency for which assistance is required. The core skills includes receive emergency calls, give advice to emergency callers as required, identify and dispatch appropriate fire brigade resources to incidents, be familiar with the location of fire stations and their station grounds, keep officers informed of incidents, liaison with other authorities and resources to keep them informed and of incident and request their assistance if necessary, answer radio messages, relay radio messages to appliances and other officers, and act and information obtained. Test and inspect equipment held in control and the secondary control, carrying out such first line maintenance as appropriate. Answer to the non-emergency switchboard calls. Answer non-emergency calls from stations. Also work as a part of a team and respect and react appropriately as instructed and directed by the officers. Undertake control, watch and administration duties as required. Fire call handling procedure. How are the fire calls and how they are handled? The most common methods by which fire brigade receive emergency calls are: number 1, calls via 101 emergency calling service, either by exchange telephone, private wire, cellular radio or other commercial radio telephone schemes. Secondly, from running callers. Third one, by fire telephone circuits from special risk or private circuits from other establishments such as the police. From automatic fire detection and sprinkler systems, either by direct or private circuit, via commercial central alarm stations or by audio dialer over the public telephone network. Fifth one, from fire brigade police or the other radio systems. There are some procedures to be followed by the operator. That are control room procedures. The detailed control room procedures for dealing with emergency calls are: ascertain and record the address of fire or other incident from the person or equipment giving the call, taking particular care to get clear and concise details and where appropriate directions on how to get it on. Number 2, note and record the time at which the call was received. Number 3, identify the appliance, equipment and personnel which are to be alerted. Alert the stations involved and pass the turnout instructions. Order on appropriate officer according to standing instructions. Notify the other services or authorities like ambulance service, police service, public utilities, etc. Notify senior officers. Receive any message from personnel at the incident and take any necessary follow-up action. Other necessary actions will depend upon the nature of the incident but may include notifying neighboring brigade controls of changes in over-the-board availability. Therefore, if we summarize this topic, the most common method by which fire brigade receive emergency calls via 101 emergency calling services, either by exchange telephone or private wire, by fire telephone circuits from special risk or private circuits from other establishment, also duties of control room operator, call handling procedure, etc. Now let us switch on radio communication. Being a member of fire service, the fire personnel should have the basic knowledge of radio communication and its associated equipment and their operations. In a disaster or during other natural calamities, emergency services render help for multiple casualties and for easy and fast communication for assistance or transmission of messages. The radio communication systems are very helpful, as well as it plays a vital role in communicating with other services nationally as well as on international levels too. What is radio wave? Radio wave consists of electrical vector and magnetic vector, and therefore the wave is called electrical magnetic wave. The speed of electrical magnetic wave is same as speed of light, which is 3 multiplied by 10 raised to 8 meter per second. That is also called as 3 lakhs kilometer per second. With this fabulous speed, one can reach any part of the world within a fraction of second. Wavelength. One wavelength of radio consists of one crest and one trough. that is, wave starts with zero amplitude, rises to maximum at 90 degrees and thereafter decreases to zero amplitude in the next 90 degrees. It decreases to maximum amplitude in the next 90 degrees and then come to zero amplitude by completing 360 degrees cycle. Frequency. Frequency are number of cycles per unit time. Frequency are divided in two categories, sound frequencies and radio frequencies. There are different types of frequencies having characteristics. Number one, low frequency called as LF, that is from 30 to 300 kilohertz, having long wave, that is LW, 10,000 to 1,000 meters. The characteristics of this wave is, it follows Earth's curvature, not screened by mountains, etc. Consists long range both by day and by night. Require very high transmitter power and very big aerials. This is specially widely used for broadcasting purposes. Number second, medium frequencies called as MF, 300 to 3000 kilohertz, having medium wave MW, 1000 to 100 meters. Its characteristics, longer ranges by night than by day, rapidly varying effects at sunrise and sunset, require high transmitter power and big aerials, widely used for broadcasting purpose, ship shore, radio, marine, navigational aids, etc. Third one, high frequencies, that is HF, 3 to 30 megahertz, having short wave called SW, 100 to 10 meters. Its characteristics, short range over ground, but reflection from upper atmosphere gives very long range over limited areas both by day and by night with very little power. Vulnerable to atmospheric disturbances, sunspots, etc. Frequency changes needed every few hours to maintain continuous communication. Widely used for long range communication. Fourth one, very high frequencies called as VHF, very short wave. Frequency is 30 to 300 megahertz, wavelength 10 to 1 meter. Characteristics are screening and reflection by hills, large buildings, etc. become noticeable. Gradually approaching visible light characteristics giving significance to line of sight. Generally short range over ground, 20 miles, that is approximately 30 kilometers average, almost wholly dependent upon line of sight, that is height of aerial, fairly constant result both by day and by night, but vulnerable to long range interference during abnormal weather conditions. Ideal for two-way land mobile scheme due to relatively short aerials and moderate power requirements. Fifth one is ultra high frequencies called as UHF, having ultra short waves, 300 to 3000 megahertz, 1 to 0.1 meter. These broadly similar to VHF but closer still to visible light characteristics. Screening and reflection more noticeable but less long range interference. Shorter range over ground but line of sight even more significant. Ideal for two-way handheld personal radio scheme due to very short but efficient aerials and low power requirements. So, let's switch to another unit, that is wireless communication systems. A radio scheme with a considerable number of users all operating on the same channel is almost unworkable unless one station is made responsible for its overall control. That station is known as main control or simply control. the two frequency systems automatically confers on the control stations the ability to dominate all other, because normally they can only hear control and not each other unless talked through is permanent arrangement. In the fire service, the main radio control is invariably in the centralized mobilizing control room for the brigade. The radio equipment is located in an adjacent room or building known as the link room. Outside is the tower or mast on which the directional link aerials, each pointing at a distant hilltop site, are fitted, along with simpler aerial for any fixed mobile equipment in the control complex. The control equipment will be duplicated at two or more operating positions, the number of such positions depending upon the size of the brigade and the number of separate radio channel it uses. In subject description, there are some operating positions like method of handling instruments and relay communications. First one, simplex and duplex communication. In simplex working, transmission one-way communication is possible at a time. Secondly, in simplex working, while transmitting, it is not possible to receive, so the person cannot interrupt. Number three, in simplex working, the word over, O-V-E-R, over, is always used. Number four, in simplex working, all the equipments normally in the receive mode and there is a use of press to speak, P-R-E-S-S, press to speak key, while transmission. Frequency use is UHF, ultra high frequency. There are advantages of simplex working. Number one, in this system, the encouraging concise and efficient operative procedure and an economy in the use of words, means person to person communication become perfect. Number second, discouraging the lengthy conversation. Number three, the equipment required is simpler than that needed for duplex one. There is one disadvantage also. It is impossible to speak and listen simultaneously. Similarly, in duplex, two frequencies are used, one for transmitting the message and another for receiving purpose. Means at a time both caller are transmitter and both caller are receiver too. But in fire services, double frequency or two frequency use, but the working should be simplex type. It has some special arrangement called as talk through arrangement. An important difference between single frequency working and two frequency working is that single frequency provides an all hear all systems, whereas two frequency does not. In two frequency working, all the mobiles can hear control and control can hear all the mobiles, but the mobiles cannot commonly hear each other. A bip tone, that is busy tone signal, is therefore transmitted by control where it is received from a mobile. It is an important aspect of radio scheme discipline that no mobile transmit when blip or on except in urgent high priority circumstances. Two frequency systems are provided with a facility known as talk through. Talk through is selected by the control operator, and when it is selected, the incoming speech from any mobile is turned round and retransmitted. It is therefore received by all other mobiles in exactly the same way as speech from the control operator. The control operator can of course still hear all the mobile transmission and retain full control of the scheme. Similarly, in these communication systems for rescue operations or for detecting the deep seated fires in basements or in big locations, behaviors are introduced. These behaviors have also some radio communication systems that is called as BA radio communication. BA radio communications consist of the speech transmission and reception components carried by BA wearer, and in some cases the BA communication operator plus the actual transceiver sets carried by both of them. Fire brigade or firefighters should particularly bear in mind that there are disadvantages to use of radio with BA. Following are the reasons. Number one, radio signal penetration in some types of buildings can be limited. Another, some atmospheres are so potentially hazardous that the communication equipment with the highest standard of explosion protection should be used. Radio systems can operate explosive devices designed to be operated remotely, and radio transmitters may interference with building control systems. Moreover, use of cable as a guideline. A BA line communication cable is not to be used as a guideline except, there are some reasons, except when, number one, it comprises a combination guideline and communication, except when a BA team entering needs to extend a communication cable led by an earlier team. Secondly, the communication team is to be relieved or a team withdraws in an emergency. The circumstances of an incident require a guideline to be laid along the route of communication cables, or an emergency team enters as a result of a communication failure. So, if we summarize this, means every firefighter must have some gaining entry or access in confined spaces or in some big fire ground. They should must use good communication equipment, means BA line communication is good for them, though there are some whereabouts, but no problem. The most important part of this chapter is mobile control van, which is also called as a special appliance. The purpose of a mobile control van is to provide a mobile administrative headquarters with ready means of communication for the officer in charge of a large fire or of an incident which requires coordination with other services, to enable the officer in charge to maintain communication with his brigade control and to keep in touch with his officer and crew. It has some requirements. It shall be fully mobile and of such a size to accommodate equipment and all accessories for a control van and a crew of 6, include officer in charge of the unit and the driver during night. It shall be capable of keeping the officer in charge in verbal contact with his control room, either by field telephone or by VHF equipment. It shall be readily identifiable during night as well as during daytime. It shall be equipped with sufficient number of city maps, charts including water resources, blackboard, writing material, and suitable arrangement for installation and storage if wireless set, including batteries, to enable the firefighting operations to be controlled successfully and contact to be maintained with crews and personnel operating on the fire ground. It shall be enclosed type and shall be fitted with a towing eye for a trailer pump. Arrangement for adequate lighting and message hatches shall also be made. Provision shall be made for amplifier, loudspeaker and microphone so that the officer in charge can communicate orders to personnel on the fire ground. The standard making for day identification shall be read shall be red and white checkered dome on top. The dome shall be illuminated at night. In addition, there are some schedule of equipment to be supplied with the control van. Next, I am switching to unit number 44, which is very much important, and that is automatic fire detection and alarm system. Functions of automatic fire detection systems is for the protection of life, for the protection of property, for a mixture of both, either simultaneously or at different times and at different places. The function of fire detectors is to detect one or more changes in the protected environment indicating the development of a fire condition. To choose the type of detector system has to be based on the type of risk to be protected, the circumstances surrounding, that is reliability, resources, and lastly economics. What is detector? It is a part of automatic fire detection system in which a sensor continuously shows or gives at least one suitable physical or chemical phenomena associated with fire. Principles of automatic fire detection. The function of fire detectors is to detect one or more changes in the protected environment, just as I said. They may operate when the invisible product of combustion are being released, when smoke is being produced, when the temperature in the vicinity of the fire rises rapidly or reaches a predetermined figure. The types of detector based on visible product of combustion and invisible product of combustion. Means visible product of combustion like smoke, invisible, heat or radiation. So, ionization type smoke detector, optical type smoke detector, types of radiation detectors and type of heat detectors are the specific types. Purpose of automatic fire detection is, systems may be installed in building for the protection of life, for the protection of property. A mixture of those purpose, these purpose either simultaneously or at different times and places. There are some successes or failure of operation of detectors too. There are many ways in which automatic fire detectors could fail. The reasons are wind fluctuation causing a false alarm reading, obstructions to smoke to travel, heat or flame radiations preventing the detector from acting quickly enough. A fault in the system may have made the detector inoperative. Next, system may be switched off for servicing. The detector for gives false alarm so that the genuine alarm may be ignored until a late investigation is made. In certain areas at certain times, insect may trigger false alarm. So let us begin with first detector, smoke detector, that is ionization chamber smoke detector. But before that, what is ionization? If atoms are subjected to radiations from a radioactive source, some electrons become detached. As a result, the atom become positively charged and free electrons quickly link with other atoms which become negatively charged. These new atoms are called ions, and the process that create it is called ionization. In case of ionization detector, the air present between the electrodes should charge and form ions with the help of radioactive source. In the same time, positive ions attracted towards negative plate and negative ions are attracted towards positive plate. The movement of ions between the plates in a chamber reduces the resistance of air so that a small electric current flow in the external circuit. The current is small, so it is amplified with the help of amplifier that it can be monitored easily. Ionization detectors should not be located in garages or kitchens because there may be a possibility of false alarm. These are also not located near ventilator or fresh air inlet. Generally, this detector covers 100 meter square of floor area. Another type of smoke detector are optical detector. In optical type detector, there are two subclasses. One is called light scatter type, another is obscuration type. In light scatter type, the light source and photoelectric cell are mounted in a chamber which allows smoke to flow into it. In non-fire condition, light from light source does not fall on the photoelectric cell. When smoke particle enters in the chamber, some light get deflected upwards on the photoelectric cell. Thus, the cell create an electric current in the detector circuit. Small increase in current is normally amplified and by transistorized circuit in order to energize a relay which controls the alarm. In obscuration type, detector works on reverse principle of the light scatter type. The resultant reduction in the intensity of light falling on the photoelectric cell cause an alarm signal to be raised. If it is possible with only one detector to throw the light beam up to 100 meter with a sensitivity of about 7 meters on either side, LED are now widely used as the light source in optical detectors. Third smoke detector is called as small sampling detector. These detectors have tubes located in the fire risk zone and they are connected to a monitoring unit which contains the actual smoke detector. The monitoring unit continuously samples the atmosphere in the protected zone by drawing air in through these small holes in the tube. The air then passes through the detector chamber, which is set to appropriate ionization rate by combustion products reach a certain level. This type of detector is mainly fitted into ducts and must be positioned correctly to operate at maximum efficiency. Next is radiation type detector. There are basic three types. One is fixed type radiation detector. Second is scanning type detector. Third is ultraviolet detector. In fixed type detector and scanning type detector, these detectors detect IRR, that is infrared radiations, and ultraviolet detector detects ultraviolet radiations. Radiant energy produced from radiation of fire flame in the form of infrared radiation, visible light, and ultraviolet radiation. So, in infrared detector, it is necessary to protect the photoelectric cell and electrical component from direct dirt, dust, moisture. So, it is fitted in quartzite globe for the protection. In this detector, the lens and the filter will allow only infrared radiations to fall on the photoelectric cell. On detecting the radiations, the cell will transmit a signal to the filter and amplifier. The function of the filter or amplifier is not only to amplify but also to filter out signals which are not in the range of 4 Hz to 15 Hz. Detector circuit gives the signal if it persists for a preset period of 2 to 15 seconds. Once any signal is rejected, the detector goes back on standby. In scanning type detector, larger areas are involved, means on open space or larger areas like factories or some dampling or some warehouse. These detectors are used. The detector continuously scan and protect the area in every 20 seconds. The detector monitor is revolving 360 degrees in horizontal plane. A wide angle on the vertical plane too. Immediately, the photoelectric cell is struck by deflected infrared radiations and the flicker is identified by the filter or amplifier. The integrator stops the motor in order that the deflector can view the flame source directly and allowed radiations to fall continuously on photoelectric cell. Timer can then check whether the flame flicker persist for 2 to 15 seconds. Where the infrared source is present beyond this period, the alarm is raised. If it is not present in the integrator, restarts the motor, putting the detector back on standby. Similarly, in ultraviolet detector, the legitimate source of ultraviolet radiations are very limited, but flicker discrimination is not needed. Basically, ultraviolet detector consists of an amplifier, same and as a photoelectric cell, gas-filled tube-sensitive quartzite bulb. When ultraviolet radiation strikes, the gas-filled tube ionizes and the gas ionizes the gas in the tube. A small current is set up between the two electrodes and the tube becomes a good conductor of electricity. When the current flow is greater than a set point of amplifier, the alarm relay closes immediately and causes the alarm to sound. Heat detectors. There are various and number of types of heat detectors. They based on the principle of heat, means melting of metals or by plastic, expansion of solid, liquid or gas, and electric effect. There are some fixed temperature heat detectors, some are rate of rise heat detectors, some are rate of rise heat detectors by using bimetallic strips, some are expansion in gases or liquid or heat type. The best example of expansion of liquid is quartzite bulb or bulb type sprinkler head. The best example of fixed type is fusible type sprinkler head. There are some electrical heat detectors also. They are linear heat detectors, uses in cables and tunnels and conveyors. These are based on electrical resistivity, insulations between two cables, or melting of cables or short circuit or the plastic tubes. There is also one detector called as beam detector. In beam detector, there are also two subtypes called as smoke beam detector and flame beam detector. In beam detector, it consists of two units, a transmitter producing a pulse beam of infrared light generated by gallium arsenide LED, and a monitor receiver used to accept that frequency. These two units are mounted at opposite ends of the space to be protected. The distance between two units must not more than 100 meters, the minimum height 2.7 meter. The maximum height preserved should be 25 to 75 meters. The infrared beam produced by the transmitter is analyzed by the receiver photosensor to loss of strength caused by smoke obscuration and for fluctuations caused by thermal turbulence. This type of detector is effective in large premises like aircraft hangars, big museums, area with radioactive risks, shopping complexes, etc. There are some manually operated fire alarm also, like rotary gongs, hand strikers, hand bells, whistles. Specially manually but electrically operated manual electric systems. In manual electric system, that is also called as manual call point, these are systems which, although set in motion manually, operates a part of an electrical circuit. Manual call points, as they are known, can be incorporated with detectors into a comprehensive fire alarm system which allow for automatic and or manual raising of an alarm. The call points in a manual electric system are invariably small wall mounted box. They are designed to operate either automatically when the glass front is broken, or when the glass front is broken and the button press in. The majority of available models are designed to operate immediately the glass front is broken. Let me switch on to next unit. Special service call. Special service call means, rather than firefighting and rescue operations, there are some special calls which has to be handled by trained manpower, that is fire brigade personnels, which is not involved in fire. The primary function of fireman is to save life. In many cases, this will be his first duty on arrival at an incident, and it will take all his skill, confidence, speed and techniques. He may have to maneuver and pitch ladders at speed in the most congested, difficult and hazardous conditions, put on breathing apparatus and search smoke filled premises, find and remove people who are unconscious, disabled or injured. Also, he may be working in darkness or thick smoke. He may have no assistance. Often he will be faced with a complex and exacting situation with two or more turning out systems. So his response must be immediate, and there will be a little time for adjustment. A fireman must therefore be trained not only in basic principles but also in more and more advanced maneuvers, so that he will have some experience of the sort of hazard and environment he will find on the fire ground. He must be able to calculate and react almost automatically. He must be capable of using his initiative, integrity, experience and equipment in the best possible way. The well-trained fireman should have full confidence in his own ability to rescue people and should be able to inspire the same confidence in them. This in itself heightens the chances of success. Means every firefighter can attain special fire service call rather than fire and rescue operations. There are special rescue operations or special service call, that is rescue from building collapse, rescue from well, rescue from sewers, rescue from lift, rescue of animal, rescue on railway incident, rescue at highway incident, etc. Similarly, he also carried out rescue in buildings, presence of poisonous gases, by using different types of ladders, by using different types of appliances like turntable ladder, hydraulic platform. Sometimes he has to carry out rescue work by emergency method, one hand seat, two hand seat, four hand seat, back to back, pick a back, etc. Sometimes he has to do rescue with stretcher, by using different types of lines, by using running eyes, by using slings, by using chair knot. Sometimes he has to use some equipments in rescuing people like quick release knife, derricks, tiffer, block and tackle, shear legs, etc. So special service call is nothing but the real test of fire ground, which has to be carried by every fireman rather than fire incident. Thank you. So student, let us discuss about the rescue problem and rescue procedure in case of highway accidents. In this assessment of the situation, the officer in charge should be concerned with the following task. Number one, ensuring continued safety on his personal and equipment. Number two, dealing with an fire in vehicle, whether personal or trapped. Number three, dealing with any other fires. Number four, taking note of special risks such as vehicles carrying dangerous substances like LPG or calcium carbide, etc. Making an inspection of the incident to ascertain the number of locations of persons who are actually trapped in the vehicle and the number of persons who are not trapped but who will require medical aid. Considering the order of precedence in dealing with casualties, organizing and directing personnel and equipment to vehicle where persons are trapped, considering whether further special equipment will be required for the extrication of casualties, deciding whether to move casualty to a place of safety whilst awaiting the arrival of ambulance, cooperating with other emergency services in the removal of casualties from the scene. As soon as possible, a thorough search must be made to locate casualties and to assess the extent of injuries. It should be remembered that casualties are not always confined to crash vehicles. Valuable information can often be obtained from witnesses of the incident as to the whereabouts of injured persons, some of whom may have been taken into nearby property. On reliable information, firemen should pitch a ladder to where a person was last seen, enter and search. People cannot always get to front of a building. Firemen should therefore make a rapid check of the rear, passing through adjacent premises if necessary. If possible, firemen should attack the fire immediately to cover the rescues. Even one fireman with a hose reel of 45 mm hose from the appliance tank can hold the fire or give a protective spray to the ladder. Too much delay in attacking the fire could prevent later rescue or cut off those already involved. If nobody can be seen but the building is smoke logged, an officer should have it searched thoroughly by man wearing breathing apparatus set. Although a person's reported message from an officer need not necessarily be accompanied by a request for assistance, he should bear in mind the possibility of requiring more ladders, personals or breathing apparatus sets. In building where many people are endangered, for example hotels, even minor smoke logging can cause panic and the possible need for extra personnel and equipment just to handle the public. In most brigade, a person's reported message in an automatic request for the attendance of an ambulance. Where this is not the mobilizing procedure, the officer must remember to order one. Even if people are not burned or otherwise physically injured, smoke inhalation and shock can require hospital treatment. Darkness can induce fear and confusion. If there is time to floodlight the building, firemen should do so as soon as possible, taking care that lights are diffused and do not dazzle rescues or those in need of rescues. Normal appliances should be kept clean of the face of the building to leave room for ladders, turntable ladders or hydraulic platform that is to be used. So students, in this chapter or in this book, that is Detection, Communication and Special Call, we have covered basic watchroom and control room procedure radio communication, wireless communication, automatic fire detection and alarm system, as well as special fire service call. These are the topics which are greatly essential for the students of diploma in fire safety engineering management to select right kind of fire alarm system, working of perfect communication system to handle different procedures at control room, to detect the necessary to detect the necessity of detectors in different locations, to handle actual fire ground communication efficiently. I wish you all the best in this regards. Thank you. Thank you very much.